Now we're holding on Chof Dalad Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ve'elu chayiv lahakriz, the following things are ones that you do have to announce. Previous Mishnah talked about things that you don't have to announce because they don't have a simen. Here we're going to talk about things that do have a simen. Motzav peiros b'kli, if you find peiros, fruit or produce or whatever inside a keli, so the keli has a simen, oy kli kamoishahu, or keli by itself, an empty keli. So we learned in the previous Mishnah about if it's kleyam kuya, if it's new kelim that you haven't gotten used to yet, then Rav Shimon Elazar had said no, but here we're talking about where the keli's already been used, and either there's an actual simen on the keli, or at least that you might have, a person might recognize it with tevias ayin, and then in the case, and then if he's a Talmud Chacham, you return it to him. Similarly, mois bekis a kis kmois rahu. Similarly, if you find coins in a purse or a bag, or if you find such a purse or bag by itself, where again there's a simon in it. Similarly, if a person finds sibure peiros, if a person finds a pile of fruit, so then there's going to be some kind of simon, whether it's the number of the whether it's the number of the fruit or the place of the fruit. We'll see in the Gemara the possibilities. Sibure mois, or if you find piles of, or if you find piles of coins, and the definition of, piles of coins is, as the Mishnah continues, shloshimat veyas zel gavze, you find three or more coins, one on top of the other. So that would be a simon, as we'll see in the Gemara, why you need dafka three. So Tosfos points out actually that first of all we are going to see in the Gemara that the details about piles of coins, the Ritva actually points out over here that when it comes to piles of coins, we've been distinguishing throughout the Perek, the portion, have been distinguishing between Derech Hinuach and Derech Nefila. Is this something that looks like it was placed there deliberately, or does it look like it's something that fell there? Now, if it's something that fell, he wouldn't know how many coins it is, but on the other hand, they wouldn't fall three, one on top of the other necessarily, as we're going to see in the Gemara. With Peiros, though, you could actually have, it would be either one. It could be Derech Nefila, because again, Peiros being heavy, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek, he'll notice when they fell. He may not know the exact spot that was 5 feet from the from whatever, but he'll know at least approximately where it was. Nevertheless, though, on the other hand, if in the case of coins, it's derech hinuach, then as we've been learning before, and as we're going to learn on Amud Beis in particular, it depends. If it's a mokam amishtamer, if it's a place where they're going to be safe, then leave them alone. Somebody obviously put them there deliberately, and he's going to come back from them, and it's a safe place, and therefore you have no business touching them. So we're talking about over here, where it's not, it's derech hinuach, but it's a place where if you don't take them, somebody else is going. If you don't take and announce them, somebody else is going to take them and keep them, and therefore you have to do that. Continues the Mishnah. Krishus b'shus ha-yachid. Also, if you find bundles of grain in Rishus ha-yachid, so we talked about in connection with the previous Mishnah. We had Machlokas Rabba and Rava, whether the issue with them being in Rishus ha-rabim is that they're going to be trampled on and then any simon on them is going to be lost. Or is it that they're going to be moved and kicked around by people walking from one place to another? In Rosh Hashanah, you don't have either of those issues, therefore you'd have to announce them. Rosh Hashanah, by the way, as we've talked about before, doesn't mean an actual Rosh Hashanah, like in terms of the halachas of Shabbos. It just means, for example, Rashi had given an example, let's say a field that's already been planted, where people don't usually walk through there. So if you have people walking through there, it's not very many people, and therefore, So you may have a small number of people who walk through there, but most don't. So therefore, that would be a sin. Next, the kikris trabalabayas. Another thing would be loaves of bread that were made by a private person. Whereas we learned in connection with the previous Mishnah, every person makes them in a different size and shape and style, and therefore they have a simon. The gizet semer halakuchin mibesa uman. Similarly, when you have fleeces of wool that come from the craftsman's house, where there's a simon on them, of how he sheared them in the first place or how he tied them, and therefore there's a simon on them. kadegayim v'kadeh shemen, or barrels or jugs of wine or oil, which that we learned about on Chaf Gimel on the days, it depends. Sometimes there may not be a simon on those also, if they're all the same size, and if they're all the same size barrels, and they're all filled up to the same amount, and we had the roshum over there, where there comes the point when everybody has them closed up with clay, or everybody has them marked, as Rashi and Tosfos said there respectively, so then there's no simon on them, but otherwise, when you have other times during the year, then there is a simon on them, because you have only some people have them, have the stopper smeared on with clay, and only some people have a marking on that sealant. So all of those, these are all things that you have to announce to see whose they are, and then wait for somebody to come with a simon. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, Taima de Motza Peres B'Kli. So we're saying, why is it that you have to, in the first case of the Mishnah, when you found a Keli with Peres in it, or a kiss with coins inside it, Taima, the reason you have to announce it, de Motza Peres B'Kli or Moris B'Kiss, because you found the Peres inside the Keli, or you found the coins inside the kiss. Ha clear the front of Paris, implying though that if you were to find a keli with Paris in front of it, a kiss or the front of Mars, or you found a purse and the money was in front of it, so then would we say that necessarily that means that the Paris fell out of the keli or the coins fell out of the purse? So if somebody were to come and give a simon on the keli, would you necessarily have to return him the Paris? The Mishnah is implying that no, you would be able to keep the Paris for yourself unless he has some kind of simon on the Paris as well. And then the implication is, Harei Elishalo, that you would be able to keep it in that case. Which, therefore, Tanena Lahod, the Tanena Banan, thus we are learning in brief in the Mishnah what it says in more explicitly in a Braisa, which means, therefore, that this Braisa is correct and represents the actual halacha, the Tanena Banan that we learn in a Braisa. Lots of clear the fun of Paris. If you find a Keli with Paris in front of it, so again, the Keli is tipped over on its side, and you find Paris in front of it on the ground, kiss or the fun of Mars, or you find a money bag and in front of it is coins, then you would be able to keep them, meaning the fruit or the coins, unless he has a simon on them. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, what if some of it is in the keli and some of it is on the ground? So that gives us reason to assume that that what's on the ground also spilled out of the keli. Or if some of the coins are in the purse and some are on the ground, then the Braisa says you would have to announce them, because then there's much more reason to think that that what's on the ground is also what was in, is also part of what was inside the keli, and some of it spilled out and some not. But the Gemara says, the problem with that is I have a contradiction to that from another Braisa, where another Braisa says, Motza davar she'ein bo simen, betzad davar she'yesh bo simen. If you find something with no simen next to something that has a simen, for example, over here we're saying you find coins next to a purse, chayav lahachos, then you have to announce it. Bo bal simen v'natol shaloi, and if the one who has the simen on the bag, let's say, comes and gives a simen and takes his money bag, then the one who found it is zoicha and gets to keep the thing that doesn't have the simon. So here the first braisa is saying you have to announce the whole thing. And if somebody comes and says and gives a simon on the purse, for example, then you would have to return them all the coins, the ones that are inside it and the ones that are on the ground. But here we're saying that now we're saying the last Braisa that no, even in that case, it sounds like the Braisa is not distinguishing. So it sounds like it's saying even if some of it is on the ground and some of it in the keli, then still you would be able to you would have to return him the keli and whatever is inside it, but not what's on the ground because that doesn't have a simon. So the question is, this is the way Rashi learns it, as we'll talk about in a second. Tosfos has a different way of learning. So according to Rashi, it comes out, in other words, that what we're saying is that if the Bala Simon comes and gets his, means, in other words, that he says that that he says that this is mine, but he's saying this purse is mine, but he says the money is not mine. So then the other guy is zoicha in the money, you know, at least in whatever's on the ground. So that's according to Rashi. So let's learn the next few lines of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about how Tosfos learns different. Anyway, so the question is, so again, according to Rashi, the question is that in the first Braisa, which again reflects exactly what it says in the Mishnah, seems to be that if you find Paris in front of the Keli, outside the Keli, then you can keep them, but if you find some of them in the Keli and some not, then all of them go together, whereas the second Braisa is saying that always, whenever you find something that with a simen next to something that doesn't have a simen, then you're able to keep what doesn't have a simen. So, Omer of Zvid, Loi Kasha, Hobbit Kuv of a Kitna, Hobbit Sana Opeim. So, Rav Zvid says there's no contradiction. One Braisa is talking about, for example, you have a barrel with flax. So, if you have a barrel lying sideways and flax on the ground in front of it, now, if the flax had actually been in the barrel, then some of it would have stayed in the barrel because it's long, the stalks of flax or the bundle of flax is long, it holds together, and very likely if it fell out, it wouldn't have completely fallen out. Some of it would have stayed in the cave. So when it comes to coins, the same idea. In other words, you wouldn't expect that all the coins spill out. You would expect some of them to, and some of them to stay behind. Hobbit sana opeiri, as opposed to when we're saying that you do have to return it, is when you have, for example, a basket with peiros, it's very possible for all the peiros to fall out and nothing of it to be left. Given that they're individual pieces, they're individual small pieces, then therefore, and also Rashi points out they're smooth. So therefore, they're more likely to all fall out. So then you would say that even if you find the Kali and the Paris are all on the ground in front of it, then we would have to say that it's very likely that the Paris actually fell out of it. So only if the guy says, no, these Paris aren't mine, then you could keep it, but otherwise you would actually have to return them as well. That's one answer. Rapapa Oma Hobba Hobbitsano Peri. Rapapa says both of them can be talking about a basket with fruit. It depends whether some is left inside it or not. According to Rav Zvid, with Paris, you could conceivably have that all of them fall out. Rav Papa is saying even with Paris, it's more likely that some of them would stay inside. So if some of them stayed inside, then we would say that yes, what's on the ground as well probably belongs to that Kali as well. But if you find nothing at all inside, then Rapapa is saying that the likelihood is that none of it belongs to the Kali. So, because at this point, when it comes to a basket, the difference is also, Rashi points out, a basket usually has a rim that folded over into the inside. So, unlike a barrel that we said as far as with flax, a basket usually has what are called in Hebrew oignin, which are like the rim is bent a little bit inward to prevent, in case it does fall, to prevent everything from falling out. So therefore, when you find a basket with Paris, because of those folded in rims, you would expect some of the Paris are going to remain inside. And if you don't find any inside, then that shows that the Paris probably didn't come from inside that basket. So in that case, we would expect that because of those folded in rims, that some of it would be left inside, and if not, then it means it doesn't belong with it. The Iboisema, or a Papa continues, Havahadle Shtayabamidi, you could say both cases are talking about where there's nothing left inside. Volakasha, Hodu Mahadri Apalagabi Peri, Hodle Mahadri Apalagabi Peri. You can distinguish, though, is the mouth of the Kali facing the Paris or not? Because if the if the mouth of the keli is facing towards the talis, even if there's nothing left inside, then you could say that you could still say that maybe all of it fell out despite the rims that are folded in. But if you have if the mouth of the keli is turned in a different direction, then obviously the talis over there have nothing to do with the keli, and then that would be the case where you can announce the keli, and when the guy comes and takes the keli, then you could keep the talis. The Borisema, or yet another possibility, both cases can be talking about where the mouth of it is facing towards the Peris. It does indeed depend on whether it has those folded in rims. It is true that generally speaking, a basket does have those folded in rims, but after all, not all of them do, and we can distinguish between whether in fact it does or whether it doesn't. And we can say, therefore, that if it has those folded in rims, then we would assume that yes, even though it fell out, some of it ought to have stayed behind. Therefore, you have to return it. So if you find at least some of the payrus inside, then fine, you have good reason to think that all of it came from inside, as opposed to if it doesn't have those rims, then you can't make any assumption like that, and then therefore you would have to then return all of it, even though nothing of it was left inside, because after all, there's no rims, so it might well be that all of it fell out. According to Rashi, then the key thing is, according to Rashi, that Reb Zvid is saying there's a difference between what kind of produce was inside there in the first place. Versus Reb Papa is making several other distinctions between whether anything stayed inside and whether it's expected that anything should stay inside, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, now Tosfos points out one problem with that is that the Mishnah uses the expression Peris, and Peris usually doesn't include flax. Here in Zvid's answer, he mentioned flax. Now you do find, it's true, we find when Cain and Hevel brought Korbanos, where it says that Cain brought flax and it calls him the Pri Adama, but still it's a little bit of a doichet to say that flax should be called Peris over here. Tosfos first points out that the difference is again that according to Rashi, the Gemara's assumption is that the Braisa, so again, Reb Zvid had drawn the distinction between Kuva Bakitna and Sano Peri. According to Rashi, Reb Zvid is saying the Mishnah is referring to flax falling out of a barrel, where again, if it spills out, you wouldn't expect all of it to spill out. You would expect some of it to stay behind in the keli. Whereas the second Braisa is talking about where it's fruit, where they were saying that it could very well be that all of it fell out, and therefore you would have to return all of the peiros together with the keli. Tosfos says that no, the Mishnah actually is talking about the second case, about Sano Peri, about a basket with Peris. Because the Peris are not connected together, so therefore it's more likely, unlike flax, where if some of it falls out, all of it is going to fall out, just the opposite. With Peris, it's very likely that some of it could fall out and some of it could left behind, could come out. So in other words, Tosfos' assumption is exactly the opposite of Rashi. According to Rashi, with flax, we would always expect that some of it is going to stay inside, and according to Tosfos, and Peris, not necessarily. And according to Tosfos, exactly the other way around, Peris, it's more likely that some would fall out and some would stay behind, whereas flax, not, within Reb Zvid's answer. Then Tosfos also brings Rabbi Hananel's Girsa, which is, Rabbi Hananel explains that the question of the Gemara to begin with was, so like this, we said according to both Rashi and Tosfos, the question was that Uriminhu was a contradiction between the Mishnah, which had said, according to both Rashi and Tosfos, the question was that the Mishnah had said, if you find Peris the Kli, and then we inferred from that, if you find only some of the Peris, and if we find Peris outside the Kli, and then we were discussing that. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, the question is specifically on the case in the first Braisa, where you find some of it in the kavi and some of it on the ground, then the first braisa had said chayav lahachra is, whereas the second braisa is saying that that with the second braisa is saying that you get to keep whatever you have, meaning even if some of it is inside and some of it is outside. And Rabbi Nachmanan explains the whole back and forth of the Gemara in that vein of it. In that vein, that the Gemara's question was, so what's the deal? So the question wasn't what you do if all of it is outside the kavi. The question is, the first braisa said, if some of it is outside the kavi and some of it is inside, the first braisa said that you have to return all of it. The second braisa is implying that not. And then we had the various answers of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa about the distinctions between can we expect that all of it stayed inside versus not, when he might be able to keep whatever is outside. So in fact, Rabbi Nachmanan says explicitly in his pirush over here, he says that if you find the second braisa is saying, if you find something that doesn't have a simon next to something that does have a simon, so you take the thing that has a simon and the other guy takes the thing that has a simon and you get to keep something that doesn't have a simon. So again, the point is, in other words, according to him, the question was that even when you find some of it in the kavi and some not, then you can keep some of it. And how is that? And the Gemara is distinguishing between different kinds of things, some of which might all stay in the kavi and some of which you can expect would all fall out. These various distinctions are brought by halacha. Actually, Hagoros Hagra points out that Rambam doesn't bring Reb Zvid's distinction as far as flax, but he does bring all the various distinctions that Reb Papa brought, and then in turn in Shulchan Aruch it mentions all of them. So in summary, it brings in Shulchan Aruch, if the kavi is facing away from the peiros, then you can always keep the peiros. If the kavi is facing towards the peiros, then if the keli has rims that are folded in, then harei l'shaloi, if all of it is on the ground, because otherwise some of it would have stayed inside, but if some of it is in the keli and some on the ground, then chayav l'hachra, then you have to announce the whole thing, and then when the person gives a simon on the keli, then he keeps the peiros as well. So in short, we use all of Rav Papa's various answers, but in halacha Rav Zvid's answer is not brought. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tzibure Peiros for Tzibure Mois, if you found piles of fruit or piles of coins. Now, piles implies that you find multiple piles. So the Gemara asks, Shamat Minam, Minyan have a simon. Does that mean that we can show that the number of something is a simon? We learned in the Gemara the other day, Rav Sheshes had stated that the minyan is a simon, but Tosfos points out the Gemara wants to see whether in fact we can derive that from our Mishnah. And the answer is not necessarily Tonit Sibur Peiros, because the Mishnah may mean a pile of fruit. So it's not that you have a number of piles and that would serve as a simon, but rather perhaps the Mishnah means only tzibur peiros. The Gemara is not necessarily altering the words of the Mishnah. The Gemara may mean the same way as we learned, the same way, for example, as when the first Mishnah of the Perek had mentioned, for example, igul leid vela or kikrois shabalabayas and other plurals like that. Tosfos had pointed out it doesn't necessarily mean that you found two or more of them. It may mean of all of the examples of that thing in the world, you found one and there's no particular simon on it. So the same thing over here. When the Mishnah says Tzibure Peiros, it doesn't necessarily mean that you found two or more piles of fruit. It may mean that out of all the piles of fruit in the world, you happen to find one particular one. And the Pnei Yeshua points out that one pile you can have, again, could be Derech Nefila, could be that he dropped it and there's no way of knowing the number of it. So he wouldn't necessarily know the number, and he wouldn't know the number, and he wouldn't necessarily know exactly where he dropped it. Once you have multiple piles over there, then you can't really say that. Actually, the Pnei Yeshua points out that really when you get down to fruit, you might know the number of piles of fruit that you placed over there. You're not necessarily going to know the number that are in each pile. When it comes to piles of coins, that's different. If you stack them, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, you're going to know the exact number, but with Peiros, not necessarily. Okay, so the Gemara says, Chamek minam mokum have a simen. In that case, can we derive from the Mishnah at least that the place of something is a simen, which is also something that we discussed previously about, and we went back and forth on the question of whether mokum is a simen. Because if you're going to say that you find a pile of fruit, and you're saying you have to announce it, if there's no simen in the pile, must be the potential simen is the mokum. And as we learned before, Rashi and Tosfos would argue, either is it that you announce the place where you found it, and somebody will say what you found there is such and such, or the other way around. You'll announce the item, and the other person will say, I lost it in such and such, or I put it down in such and such a place. So can you prove that from the Mishnah? And the answer is not necessarily. Because after all, the Mishnah may actually mean piles in plural, meaning that you actually found several piles, in which case the number of them is the simen, but not necessarily the place. So you can't really prove from the Mishnah one way or the other. The halacha may well be that both minyan and mokum can be a simen, but you can't prove it one way or the other from the Mishnah. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Shloshimat Beis Zeal Gav Zeal, you find three coins, one on top of the other, is also something you have to announce. Amr Rav Yitzchak Magdala, so Rav Yitzchak Magdala said, well, who shasuin can be dolin? That would apply only if they're shaped in the shape of a tower. Now, Rav Yitzchak Magdala appears here and there in Shas, but he doesn't appear very often. So there's an interesting idea that Maratz Chayes says, and Reuven Margolius discusses it in greater detail. Sometimes we have Chachamim, who I mentioned only in a couple of places in Shas. Sometimes they actually get nicknamed after a particular notable halacha that they said. So here we have an example. On the face of it, Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala is called that because he came from a place called Magdal or Migdal. There is, in fact, a place of that name near the Kinneret in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So it could very well be he came from there. But it's also possible, they say, that he's nicknamed Rav Yitzchak Migdala after this halacha of his about Migdalim over here. And you have a few examples of that here and there in Shas, where a person is nicknamed after one particularly notable halacha that he said. So Rav Yitzchak Migdala says that in order for it to be considered a pile of coins, three coins, one on top of another, would have to be that they're arranged in the shape of a tower. The Gemara says Tani Nami Hochi. We learn similarly in a Braisa. Motzim Mois Mepuzoris. If you find scattered coins, Harei L'Shaloi, then you can keep them. Asurin Kimigdolim. But if they're made in the shape of towers, then you would have to announce them. The Elohein Asurin Kimigdolim, the definition of Asurin Kimigdolim would be Shloshimat Bein Zeh or Gav Zeh, would be when you have three coins stacked one on top of another.
The reason why you're not touching it because the guy might take
so it. So the reason why you're not allowed to touch it, right, because we're talking about that it's in a place which is not completely safe. So yeah, Tosfos points out over here, if we're going to say that the number is a simen, that you can say that I found coins, and the person will come and say, so you found three coins, and that's considered a valid simon, then obviously if you find them one on top of the other, then you know that it was derech hinuach, whereas where you know that he placed it there deliberately. However, again, yeah, it's a place which is not completely safe, where somebody else might walk off with it, whether we're talking about goyim, or even we might talk about a yid who's less erlich or whatever, and therefore it's a two is not enough, as the Gemara is going to explain soon why. If you're going to say mokum have a simen, if you're going to say that you can give a simen based on the place where it was found, well then, shouldn't two even be enough? The thing is, Tosfa says, because if you have only two, it's possible maybe punk they fell like that, and they happen to land one on top of the other. Once you have three of them, then it's not very likely. Okay. However, the Gemara says, Hog gufa kasha. You have a contradiction, though, within this braisa. So again, the braisa said if you found them scattered, then you can keep them, and if you found them like towers, then you chayav achas. Now, between scattered and like towers, you have something in between. You can have where they're not scattered, like one here and one there. You can have them partially, one on top of the other, but no, they're not in the shape of a tower. That's what we have to figure out. So, Amrit motzim mois mepuzoris harei l'shaloi. First, you're saying that if you find them scattered, then you can keep them. Implying, though, that if they were lying on the ground in a way where part of one coin is on top of the other and part is on the ground, Then it sounds like chayiv lahachriz. That would be enough of a simon because now they're more together, and therefore you'd be chayiv lahachriz because now it seems like there's more likelihood that the second coin goes together with the first one since it's partially on top of it. They probably all come from the same person.
Coins is something that you don't just put down because I have a room in my pocket for it. Money, boxes is something I understand, but coins are actually money.
But first of all, again, we're saying that you found a tower of them over here. You found a pile of them in the shape of a tower. It obviously didn't fall that way. There's no question it has to be derech hinuach. Wait. So in the case of Mashalach, that's what Gemara is asking about. Mashalchufi, Shalchufi. First, let's work out the wording of the Braisa. And then we can talk about the logic behind it. But right within the wording of the Braisa is only distinguishing between towers on the one hand, where Chayiv Lahachriz versus scattered, where one of them is not touching another, where you can keep them. So what does the Braisa hold as far as Mashalchufi, Shalchufi, as far as where the coin is partially on the other one and partially on the ground? Yeah, and if you're asking why somebody B'chlal would leave a pile of coins there, obviously if you find a pile of coins, obviously somebody put it there. So therefore, we would have to say, again, we're talking about it's not fully a mokum on the shtamer, which is why you have to take it and announce it in the first place, rather than waiting for him to come back for it. But we can be talking about, okay, the person didn't realize he thought that it's safer than it is. Maybe, for example, you could have where before not many people were coming through, and now all of a sudden a lot more people are coming through. Whatever the case, the point is, the point is, it's obviously derech hinuach.
Well,
that's the thing. Yeah, why would a person put down? Does he not have room in his pocket? You could have, for example, let's say that he found that his money bag has a hole in it. So rather than continuing to walk around with it and the coins are going to fall out someplace, he decides to put them down there in a pile and then he's going to go get himself a new money bag and then he'll come back for them. Meanwhile, again, it's a mokum she'ein mishtamer. It's a place that's not quite so safe. And therefore, you can't just leave them there because the next person may walk off with them. So, yeah. By the way, we talked about the other day, I think the Ramban says, we talked about the whole concept of simina osilidoris, when you have a simina that's likely to be trampled on. Here, when it comes to coins, we're not concerned that the fact is, if somebody steps on it, they're going to knock over the pile. On the other hand, nobody's going to step on it in the first place. The first person who sees coins is going to take them, either to keep them for himself or to be machlis, so it's not a simina osilidoris. Similarly, with piles of coins. Yeah, similarly with piles of fruit, the same thing. We learned before that people don't usually step on food, so therefore if there was a pile of fruit, it's likely to stay that way. Okay. Anyway, so the question is again, the Braisa first is saying that if they're scattered, implying therefore that if they're partially one on top of the other, then you'd have to announce them. But then the Braisa continues. If they're in the shape of towers, then you have to announce them, implying any time they're not in the shape of towers, then you're allowed to keep them. So what is it? What does the Braisa hold as far as Meshalchofi Shalchofi?
The buckles.
No, well, it's one or the other. So
if it's not like the top case, then you get the bottom.
Well, that's the way you have to figure out. Why is the Braisa not saying that? So the answer is Tana Kosha in Asurin Kimigdolin Mufuzoris Korivahu. The answer is the Tana is considering anything that's not in the shape of a tower is automatically called Mufuzori. So the Braisa didn't need to specify Mishalchofi Shalchofi because that's included in Mufuzori. So we understand, therefore, if they're in the shape of a tower, then you have to announce them. Otherwise, any other configuration, then you don't have to, announce them. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Abchanina loyshanu elashal shloisha malachim. Now all of this would only apply if the coins are from three different kings, and therefore, in other words, they're different sizes. Avashal melech echad. But if they're all from one king, now at this point, actually, the Gemara is not realizing that it's a matter of size. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that it's a matter of the image on them. Every king obviously mints coins with his own picture or his own design. So at this point, the Gemara is assuming that we're actually talking about that literally from different kings. Avashal melech echad ein chayv lahakris. But if they all are from one king, so they all have the same design, then he wouldn't have to announce. Well, the Gemara asks why. Hechidami, what's the scenario? Ida asuyin kimigdolin. if they're stacked in the shape of a tower, different sizes, one on top of the other, or even the same size, maybe at this point, the Gemara doesn't know that there's a distinction yet. So then, afilu shomelach echad nami, then you should have to announce it even if it's all from one king. Because obviously, you make them like a tower, it's obviously it didn't fall like that. As Tosfos had said, two coins conceivably you could have, four, one right on top of the other. Three obviously fell, three obviously were placed there deliberately. If you're talking about that they're not in the shape of a tower, then it wouldn't matter, even if they're from three different kings, because they're scattered, or they're mashal chofi, shal chofi, as we said, and it's not a sin. So why is it, Rav Hanina distinguishing between one king and three different kings? So, Ela, itmar, hochi, itmar. Rather, you're right, the Gemara says, if it was said, then it was said rather as follows. In other words, we have to say, if Rav Hanina actually said this din, and many, the reason why the Gemara often uses that expression, e itmar, is because many times the Gemara is not necessarily quoting the amod of verbatim. It's not necessarily quoting him word for word. Sometimes you can say it, sometimes you can have, where he said something from which we're inferring a certain halacha. So now we're saying, if he had said something from which we can infer a halacha, then this is what he meant to be inferred. When we're talking about is when you have they're from one king, but they're like three kings because they're three different sizes. So it's fine even if they have the same design, but they're different sizes. But if they all belong, if they're all from one king, meaning in other words all the same size, then you would not have to be machriz because since they're all the same size, so you still could have that maybe the punct happened that they fell one on top of the other. But when you have them different sizes, and as the Gemara is going to go on to say, they're stacked according to Rav Hanina. They're stacked, the largest one on bottom, the middle one, and you know, to put it in terms that we can be familiar with. If you find, for example, a pile with a quarter, and then on top of it a nickel, and on top of it a dime, it was obviously placed there deliberately. But if you find three quarters, one on top of the other, or three dimes, one on top of the other, it could be that punct it fell that way, is what Rav Hanina is saying. It's not very likely, but nevertheless, it is possible. So before we said two not and three yes, but now Rav Hanina is saying even within that you have to consider, are they the same size? Are they the same size or are they not? Both Marshal and Maran actually take out these words that are in parenthesis over here and take out the Abel Shemelech Echad Ein Chayv Mahachriz, because they're saying he's not really saying that if it's from one king. You don't at all have to announce it. Or Rav Hanina is saying that when it's from three kings, then definitely you have to. The Hechi Damidas in Kimigdolin, what does it mean? That they're made like towers, Revicha Tata, the largest one on bottom, a Metzia Ilave, the middle sized one on top of it, Rizuta Ilave Metzia, and the smallest one on top of the middle one, Daminan Anuchi Anchimu. Then the logical thing is to assume that he actually placed it there deliberately. And again, normally we would say it's derech hinuach and you should leave it alone. But here we're talking about, as we've worked out before, that it's talking about it's a mokum she'ena mishtamer, it's a place where it's not so safe. And if you don't take it, some other person may come by and take it, and therefore you should take it and be machmir. Abel shemalach echad. Oh, so the reason why Shaul and Maharam take out that line is because now the Gemara is going to say that, so we didn't have to say it before. Avol shemelech echad, but when all three coins belong to one king, meaning in other words, where they're all the same size, well, in fact, there are gersois over here, ke'ein melech echad, even if it's not actually from one king, but it's like one king, in other words, they all are the same size, so then, the kulu piadodi ninu, they're all the same size, afagav de manchi ahadodi, then even if they're all one on top of the other, Rav Hanina says, then you could still keep it. Then you would say it could happen that maybe it fell punked that way, and they all fell at the same time, and they punked happened to land one on top of the other. So therefore, according to him, if they're all the same size, you would not have to be machers. Rabbi Yochanan says though that no, even if they're all from the same king or from the same size, once they're one on top of the other, it's not likely that they fell one on top of the other like that, and therefore three or more would be a simon, even if they're all the same size. Hagoyes Hagura points out over here that you have a machloikus rishonim are Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan, both of them arguing with the are they arguing with Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala? So Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala had said, when you found them like a tower, when Rabbi Hanina is saying that only if you find them like a tower, but not if they're all the same size, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying only if they're all the same size, is Rabbi Yochanan maybe arguing with Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala, or is it they both are accepting what Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala is saying, and they're each understanding it in their own way, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan, respectively? So you have a machlokas rishonim. Then what happens if you find three coins of the same size? Do we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan and say that even in that case you have to announce it, or do we pass in like Rabbi Hanina and say only if they're different size?
So that's the thing, the Gemara said
Melech Echad Ke'ein Shloshim Malachim. That's what we said. You have one coin, one king, but they're like three kings in the sense that they're different sizes. You have to realize, back then, they didn't have a concept necessarily, even within the same denomination, of standard size coins. Even within the same denomination, they might well be slightly different sizes. So you could still have, you have, for example, you know, a coin that's supposed to be a quarter, and some quarters are larger and some of them are smaller, even when they're from Melech Echad. So that's the distinction the Gemara is making. In the end, the Shulchan Aruch brings that only if it's the wider one on bottom and the skinnier one and the narrower one on top of it and so forth, but not if they're all the same size. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, and even if they're all the same size, but in Shulchan Aruch it paskins more like the Rosh and other poskim who paskin like Rabbi Hanina, that only if they're different sizes, only then would it be a sin. Okay.
A migdal, everyone agrees.
So that's what I'm saying. Everybody agrees that it has to be like a migdal, but the definition of a migdal, whether we say it's enough for it to be all of the same size, three quarters, or whether it has to be dafka, a quarter, a nickel, and a dime, that you have the machlokes. So the Gemara says, my machlokes. So what are you announcing? How do you announce it in such a way that somebody can give a simon? On the face of it, you're announcing the number of coins, and then the person is going to come and say that I put these coins over here in this configuration. Well, my Irya Tlosa, in that case, why does it matter? Chapter 3, after the Tre Nami, even if there's two, can't you have, for example, that a person could say, yes, you found a quarter with a nickel on top of it. Why do you need Chapter 3? And the answer is, Amar Avina, Tiva Machiz. The answer is, you're not announcing the number of coins. You announce, I found coins. So if somebody comes and says it was two coins, that's not a sin, because you yourself said that there are coins in plural, which means at least two. So therefore, it has to be three or more, and now you can say that he's giving a sin. As we're going to talk about later in the Perek, this kind of thing is not a simon muvhak. We're going to talk about later in the Perek, we touched on in the previous Perek, about a simon muvhak, an absolutely definitive simon. For example, we said by a get where there's a hole next to a certain letter, there's likely to be no other get in the world that has a get that has a hole in that particular spot. Here you can have, there could be many places where you have a quarter and then a nickel on top. So it's not a simon muvhak, but nevertheless it is a simon. But only when you have three of them, because since he's announcing coins in the plural, then therefore the person has to be able to respond and say the number of coins. If he just comes and says there are two coins, well, that's exactly what you said, so therefore there's no simon at all. Now we've learned before, actually, that Tosfos had learned somewhat differently, that the question that sometimes when the Gemara is asking, my machlis, is what simon is he supposed to give exactly? So the answer is that he gives the number, and then therefore according to Rashi, the question was, what are you supposed to announce? You should announce, I found this number of coins. The question is, in that case, why wouldn't it work with two as well? And the answer is because two is not, because he's announcing coins plural. According to Tosfos, rather, the question is that what is the, how is the person supposed to provide a simon in the first place? And the answer is, you say, I found coins, and then that leaves him room to answer with a simon that there were three. How many? And yeah. Okay. Boy, Rav Yirmiya asks a question. So far, we're saying that only if they're in the shape of a tower. But truly, there are other configurations where you can have where it shows that it was placed there deliberately, maybe. A share mahu. What if you find the coins arranged in a circle? A share, literally, a share is actually a collar that you put around an animal's neck. So sometimes the Gemara uses it to mean a circle. A shura mahu. What if you find them in a straight line, one next to the other? Kachatsuva mahu. What if you find them in the shape of a triangle? A chatsuva is a tripod, like you use, nowadays we think of tripods in terms of cameras, but back then you had the most common use of a tripod would be to put a pot on it above the fire. So you're making a fire on the ground, let's say, or on top of a stove, and you need something to hold the pot above it. So you would put up a tripod like that. So chatsuva then is a triangle. Kasulam mahu. What if you found them in the shape of a ladder? Meaning, so before we had mishalchofi, where a little bit of one coin is on top of the previous one. Kasulam would mean where most of one coin is on top of the previous one. So it's shaped like a ladder. You have one coin, and then on top of it is another one, mostly on top of it, and completely, it's completely being held up by it. A little bit of it is sticking out, but it's basically in place on top of the previous one. And the next one, the same thing, and the next one, the same thing, and so forth. Would any of those be a simon? So the Gemara says, "Shoyt mehochod." At least we can answer one of them. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Kol she'ilo machnis la'pesem benehem. The rule is, if you could stick a little piece of wood between them, the noitlam of asachas, and be able to pick them up all at the same time, chayev lahachos, then you have to announce them. So in other words, when we had before about the tower, you could put in a piece of wood under the quarter and pick it up, and with it will go the nickel and the dime. You have to get it underneath, but let's say you could. You insert a little piece of. You have to remember also, you know, it's not like even nowadays the streets are not quite so, you know, perfectly smooth that you wouldn't have room to stick in. But in those days, yeah, especially there were dirt roads. Yeah, it would be much easier to. So yeah, so the point is, in other words, for example, when you find them in a circle, you can't do that. You can't pick up one and all the others go with it. When you find them in the shape of a triangle or a line or whatever, so you can't prove one way or the other. Maybe those are a simon, but you don't have that. Rashi learns, therefore, the only one that we can answer of the ones that Rav Yirmiya asked about is the case where it's like a ladder. There also, if you pick up the bottom one, all the other ones go together with it. So therefore, that one you would have to announce, but not necessarily, as the Braisa is saying, not necessarily would you have to announce all the other ones. You know, in Chassidus, we have the idea that how do we elevate the world by working with the lowest parts of the world, you know, to make a dit of a tachtonim, and that together with it elevates all the higher worlds higher than our world. And the mashal that's given in Chassidus is, if you want to pick up a house, you take a lever and you put it underneath the house, and you lift up, you put the lever on there to turn on a pivot. And then you push down the lever on one end, and it picks up the foundation of the house, and together with it, the rest of the house goes. So the same way over here, you're picking up the bottom coin, and the two coins on top of it go together with it. Or the same thing with the ladder, the same idea. You pick up the bottom one, and the other two automatically go with it. As opposed to all the other configurations that Rav Yirmiya asked about, where the Braisa is not addressing. So the difference between a migdol and a ladder is, a migdol, again, we said you have different sizes, and they're all directly one on top of the other. The nickel is on top of the quarter and not sticking out at all. The dime is on top of the nickel and not sticking out at all. Like a ladder, we're saying, is it sticks out a little bit. So here, same size coins, yeah. But you have, for example, let's say here's one coin, here's another, and here's a third, and so forth. So they're still in. It's not a ladder. They're not exactly centered one on top of the other. They're sticking out a little bit, but not so much that it's actually falling off onto the ground, which is what we called before Mishalchofi. Yeah. That's a coin to Rashi. The Rambam actually has a different girsa. Hagos Hagra points out he doesn't even have the Pshot Miyachada that we can answer one of the questions according to him. All four of Rav Yirmiya's configurations are all a suffix. And that's how it's brought. that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that that in all four of these cases a suffix. So therefore, you shouldn't take it. So you shouldn't take it in the first place because you don't know, the person may have put it there deliberately, and if you take it now, you're destroying the siman, and therefore he may not be able to get it back. So if it's not mishtameres at all, then fine, you have no choice. Listen, one way or the other, he's going to lose it. But then in that case, harei yavashaloi, then in that case, you'd be able to keep it. But so here we're talking about, in other words, where it's a place where there's reason to think that if you leave it there, the person will come back for it. So therefore, better you shouldn't touch it in the first place because you don't know it's suffik hinuach. You don't know whether he placed it there or whether it won't happen to fall like that. And now, therefore, if you take it, then you're ruining his simon.
Nothing to call out.
And there may not be anything to call out, because again, these things are not necessarily considered a simon. But even so, we're saying it could be that there's not necessarily, it could be it won't happen before that way.
Right.
Right. So that's what we're saying. Boy, Rav Ashi has a question. How about another possible configuration? So far, we've been talking about a tower, one on top of the other. We talked about like a ladder. We talked about various ones that are flat on the ground next to another. How about Avne Beis Kulis, Mahu? What if the coins are arranged like the stones of Beis Kulis? Normally, that Kulis is an Avodah Zarah. Rashi explains, usually in Shas, it's called Merkulis, which is Mercury. The standard way that the Goyim would worship it is they would have a pile of rocks they would throw rocks in it, but they would start out with a pile of rocks where they would have, in particular, the minimum was they would have two rocks, one next to the other one, and another one on top of that. That was considered a symbol of that getchka. So now, what if you find coins like that? You find one coin next to another coin, and another coin on top of them, like that. So would that be considered the Tosfos, by the way, points out, now usually we know you're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah unless it's mentioned in Tanakh. So why is the Gemara using over here the name Kulis, which is the name of the Avodah Zarah? Tosfos says that actually what it is the real name of it, the real name of it is Kulis, like it's saying over here. In Shas, when it calls it Mer Kulis, the word Mer, we had actually, we had towards the end of Bava Kamma, we had a case over there involving where Rava bought a keli from a goy, which looked like it was bought a keli from a goy where the goy didn't realize that it's gold. He thought that it was bronze or copper or something like that. The mer de parzala was the expression over there. Instead of, the word mer means instead of, or means instead of. So mer kulis, Tosfos says kulis means to praise. In Tanakh, you have the word, in Tanakh, you have the Shurish Kelis, Kuflam and Samach, means to make fun of, like Lag Rakelis, the Svirisenu. In Gemara terminology, the word Kelis can also mean to praise. So the Goyim would call it Kulis, meaning the thing that's praiseworthy. The Chacham would call it Mer Kulis, the opposite of praiseworthy. But here, they're calling it Kulis, because that was the actual name that it was known by. Elsewhere, Tosfos says differently, precisely the point, because the word kulis can have that double meaning. It can mean to praise, as in Gemara terminology, but it can also mean to make fun of, as in Tanakh. So therefore, the Chacham could call it kulis with the sense of this is the thing that you mock and you make fun of. Anyway, the point is, again, so you have three coins arranged like the stones in front of a merkulis, or that represents a merkulis. Would that be considered a simon or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tanya, well, we learn in a Braisa. Motza Mois Mufuzoris, if you find scattered coins, Harei Lashaloi, then you can keep them. But, Avne Beis Kulis, Chai Vahakavis, but if you find them arranged like the stones of a Beis Kulis, then you would have to renounce them, because that's considered a simon. And there also you have, by the way, there you have the rule that we said before, that if Yachnas Kesem Benehem, if you stick a chip of wood under the two bottom ones, the top one will go along with them. So therefore, that also fits in the point that we said on Amud Aleph. So the Elohein Avne Beis Kulis, and how do we define that? Achas Mikan, Achas Mikan, Achas Al Gabehen, when you have one on one side, one on the other side, and the third one on top of them, so that's considered a sin.
When we say that long ago, you can keep it.
If it's a place where it's, as we learned before, if it's a place where it's mostly Goyim, then you would be able to keep it. But if it's a place that's mostly Jews, the Jew didn't put it down there as that he's going to worship it as a miraculous. He just put it down there in that configuration because it's a convenient way to put him in a way that's obvious that they all came from him. The Gemara is called, the Gemara is associating it with Avnei Beis Kulis because that was it was a known thing. When you like this, you have to realize, you have to remember, of course, you know, the Chachamim are living in a society that's ruled over by Goy. And then back then, when they were over the Avodah Zarah, Melkulis in particular, we know from Goyish history books was considered like the deity of travelers. So in particular, all over the roads you would have, all over the place you'd have statues and images and whatnot in honor of that Getchka. So therefore, it's like the kind of thing you'd be walking along the road and you'd see these piles of stones here and there, and therefore it was like an obvious way to describe this kind of configuration. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanan Abban, Hamotze Sela Bashuk. If a person finds a Sela coin in the street, or Motze Chaveira, and somebody else finds the person who found it, but meets up with him, V'omalei, and he says, Shalihi, that coin is mine, and I can give you a simon. Chadoshehi, it's a new coin. Nero Nisiu, it comes from the Emperor Nero. Or Shamelach Ploini, or he identifies a particular king the particular king or emperor that minted it. Loyal Maklum, what he said doesn't count for anything. Veloy Oid, not only because there are many other coins like that. Veloy Oid, El Afilu Shmoy, Kosov Aleha, not only that, even if the person wrote his name on the coin, Loyal Maklum, still what he said doesn't count for anything. Mefisha ain't Simon Lamafeya, because there is no Simon when it comes to a coin. Why is that? Omar, because we can say, Doma Puki Akka, he may have spent the coin, or Me'inishachunin Nafal, and somebody else dropped it. So the fact that even he has his name written on it, it means that he had that coin at one point. It doesn't mean that he still owns that coin now, because he may since then have spent it. Now we don't say that, Now we don't say that by other things. It's true, anything you could say that he sold, but nevertheless, by other things we don't do that. So you actually have an interesting point that Mephoshim point out. First of all, you have a lot of coins are made in exactly the same thing. So there's no simon about that he's saying it's from Nero or whatever, because they're all made the same way. However, Rishonim point out, let's say, for example, it has a crack in it, and you can describe the crack. Well, that's something already unusual, so therefore that might be a reason to return it to him if he gives such a simon. On the other hand, you could say that it means, and in fact, the Rif's Girsa is that Dilma Puki Akka, he may have spent it. In other words, yes, so sure, you had this coin at one point with the crack. But after all, you spend coins, and coins are very commonly spent. So therefore, and even if you say his name was on it or whatever, you could have he wrote his name on a lot of coins, and then some of them he spent. So when it comes to other things, the fact is unless you have something which is regularly meant to be sold, then you wouldn't assume that. If a person comes and gives a simon on a keli or a piece of clothing or an animal or whatever, you could say the same thing. Maybe he sold it to somebody else. We're not going to be concerned about that, because such things are not that commonly sold. But here, when you have coins that are always meant to be spent, so even if there was a simon miyuchad on it, for example, a crack, then maybe that would, so that on Bonhold, that would be a valid simon. But according to other Rishonim, even that would not be a valid simon, because coins are so often spent. Okay. Mishnah says, Motza achar hagapa or achar hageder. If a person finds behind a gapa, which is a Rashi explains that a gapa would be a wooden fence or a straw fence or something like that, whereas a geder would be a stone fence. From some other places in Shas, it comes out another possibility that a gapa would be a fence made out of stones that have not been cemented together, and a geder would be where they're cemented together. Anyway, whatever the case, you find behind that gozvas mukushorim, you find young birds that are tied together, or you find such birds tied together on paths in the fields, where in the fields is not a place where many people are going. So all these cases, Tosfos points out, these are all places that Mishtameres Ktsas. These are all places where the thing is somewhat safe.
and the Mekasharim, they try to...
And the Mekasharim, on the other hand, as the Gemara is going to point out, they may walk around a little bit. They're tied, so their wings or whatever are tied, but nevertheless, they can still walk around. HaRezala, you got behind, you shouldn't touch them. Because, as the Gemara is going to explain, if you take them, you're going to wound the sin. it's not an Aveda. So Rashi explains, it's not an Aveda in the first place. You have a mitzvah in the Torah not to ignore an Aveda, but here it's a Mokum HaMishtamer, therefore it's a place where, therefore it's not considered an Aveda in the first place, so better you should leave it alone. Why it is that the knot and then the number is not a simon, we'll see in the Gemara. Another din, Masa Kliba Ashba, another din, if a person found a keli in the garbage, im mechosa, if it's covered up lo yigabo, then he shouldn't touch it, because then it means the person placed it there deliberately, and it's mishtamer, because as the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about a garbage heap that's normally not cleared away, so therefore he's going to come back for it. In Megula, but if it's exposed and somebody else might pick it up, no to Lamachris, then you should take it and announce it, because otherwise somebody else may take it. We learned this yesterday, and the Gemara is going to draw the distinction over here between different kinds of garbage heaps. Yeah. We learned this in the middle of a discussion yesterday in the Gemara. He was the Mishnah that was quoting it from. So the Gemara starts off, my timer, why is it with the birds that are tied up, you shouldn't take them, damin and hani inish afne inu, because we have to assume somebody placed them there deliberately, because, again, they're in a place that's mishtamer, that's reasonably safe, and therefore it's likely that he put them there. The ish shokel lahu, now if you take them, less lahu lamonayu, simone begamayu, the owner has no simon on them, and therefore, so if you take it then you're ruining the simon. Therefore, better you should leave them alone until the owner comes and takes them. Obviously, if you find them there for like days and days or whatever, then you have to assume it was Miyash or something happened to him or whatever. Yeah, you have to feed them. But we're talking about, in other words, that it didn't come to that point yet. We're going to learn later on in the Perek, by the way, for example, that you have, let's say, you find an animal and you find it, for example, 3 days, 3 days in a row where it seems to be lost. At times when it's not likely that the owner took it out to graze, so then you have to assume that it's lost. So this is similarly over here, okay. Have a kesher simona. Why shouldn't the knot that they're knotted with be considered a simon? And then even if you take them, no problem. The person can always say that I tied them up in a certain way. And the answer is Amar Rab Abba Azav, Amar Rab, b'mekoshorin b'kanfehem. We're talking about where they're tied by their wings. D'kula Amar Hachim Mekatim. Who? Everybody ties them that way, so therefore there's no simon. The Pashkus, we also have to assume the actual kind of knot itself is also a standard kind of knot, and therefore there's still no simon with that as well. So the Gemara asks, well, I have a mokum simon. Okay, shouldn't the place where they are be considered a simon? And the answer is Amar Rab Ukva Vachoma the midadim. We're talking about where the birds are not able to fly. That they're able to hop around and jump around from one place to another, so therefore they're probably not in the original place where they were, and therefore they may be close to it, but they're still not, and therefore the place is not a sin. The Gemara asks, even Medadin, but if you're talking about that the birds can walk, may Allah also, then they may Mechlal have come from someplace else altogether. On the other hand, it's also possible that someone placed them there deliberately. In which case you have a suffix whether it was placed there in the I skipped the line. Even medadim me'alma also umotarim. The question is, if they're medadim, can't you just as well say that it means they came from someplace else? So then in that case they should be mutter. There's no simon. So what is the Mishnah saying? You should say, since they're able to hop around, there's no particular reason to think that the person to begin with placed them over here. They came from someplace else. There's absolutely no simon on them, because we said the knot is not a simon. So why not just keep them? And the answer is, it is true, it could be they came from someplace else, but it's equally possible that somebody placed them over there. So you have, it's now a suffix whether it was placed there. Whenever you have something that may have been placed there, you shouldn't take it when there's no simon. So if you shouldn't take it, because again, then you're ruining the siman. So instead, let the owner come and get it himself. The im notal, but if you took it, lo yachzir, then you shouldn't return it. So Rashi over here just says that it means there's nobody who gives a siman. Later on, Rashi said, later on, this is the statement, the im notal lo yachzir, is also brought in the next parak in a different context. And Rashi says over there basically means, even if somebody comes and gives a siman, you shouldn't return it to him because not necessarily that he's giving it, it's not necessarily that it's a valid, that it's a valid siman. If somebody says, Rashi says over there that no, if somebody comes and says that it's mine, but he doesn't give a siman, then you can't return it. But if he gives a siman, then fine. But if he doesn't give a siman, then you have to be concerned that maybe it's not his, and the edim may, the owner may even bring edim that he placed it over there. So
we learned somewhere that they don't jump around so much.
So there is a limit how much they can jump out. Right, there is that point. Yes, the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra they can only go a maximum. They can only go a maximum of 50 amas. So yeah, but nevertheless, still that's so here we're talking about if there. So right, if there's nothing else within 50 amas, then yeah, you have a siman because the guy obviously placed it there. But we're talking about the pastures where there were other places nearby where it could have gotten there from within the 50 amas. It could have gotten from some other person's farm nearby or whatever. Yeah.
The birds and the amount of birds could be a similar thing.
The amount of birds, not necessarily, again, especially if you only have two birds, then like we said before, the same way as with coins, you don't have a seven, yeah. Anyway, so Rashi is explaining that it means that lo yachzir means you shouldn't return it, even if somebody comes and you shouldn't come and return it because there's no siman, and therefore, so then he said there's no siman, so how is he supposed to have it to begin with? There's no siman, so therefore lo yachzir, even if somebody comes and says it's not, that it's mine, you shouldn't give it to him because granted there's no simanim, but somebody may later on come with edim and say that it's his, and now if you gave it to somebody else, then you've caused him a loss. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here, and other Rishonim discuss that the lo yachzir doesn't necessarily mean that if you took it, you shouldn't return it. For among other things, Tosfos says obviously if there's no siman, then who are you supposed to return it to? So what are you going to say that just because somebody comes and says it's mine, you shouldn't return it to him? There's still not much chiddush in it. Tosfos explains that lo yachzir means you shouldn't return them to where you found them. Meaning, what's going to happen? The guy comes, he doesn't find his birds over there. He's going to be miyash. He's not going to think now to come back to see if maybe they came back over there. So he's going to find, he'll look within the 50 amas or whatever, but if he doesn't find them, he's going to give up. He's going to say, okay, then somebody must have stolen them, or somebody must have taken them, whatever, and he's never going to bother coming back for them. So there's no point in returning it to where you found it, because then you're not helping by it. So according to Tosfos, that's what lo yachzir means. Not you shouldn't return it to somebody who comes and says it's mine, but rather you shouldn't return them to where you took them from, if you took them, and thereby destroyed the sin. But we mean, in other words, as opposed to Tosfos says, obviously if you picked them up, and then you saw there was nobody around, and then you put them back, and there's no problem with that, because obviously the guy hasn't seen you picking it up, and therefore there's no problem. The Mishnah said, "Motza kli ba'ashva." If you found a keli in the garbage, mechusa, if it's covered lo yigavoy, then you shouldn't touch it. Megula, but if it's uncovered, no tolamachos, then you should take it and announce it. The Gemara says, "Uraminu." I have a contradiction. A brisa says, "Motza kli tomun ba'ashva." If you find a keli hidden in the garbage, no tolamachos, you should take it and you should announce it. Shekein derech ashva liponis, because a garbage heap often gets cleared away, and therefore, so you may have when they clear it. Then a goy or a yid who doesn't keep mitzvahs properly may take it. So here, so no difference the Mishnah had said but lo yigabo, you shouldn't touch it. The Braise is saying no to lamachos. So what's the difference? Amar of Zvid, like Kasha, hobi the kasi, hobi sakini the hemp. There's a difference between, for example, barrels and cups, which those are larger things, so those were probably placed there deliberately. Versus sakini vehemnech, versus knives or forks, those are small kalim, so it might be when a person took out the trash, then accidentally those landed in there. So b'kuvi b'kasi lo yiga, the larger kalim you shouldn't touch, because the person probably placed them there deliberately. Sakini vehemnech, but if it was a knife or a fork, which are small kalim, no to lamachos, then you should take them and announce them.
Guys, even though he lost it, so it's small.
Fine, but now it still has a siman on it. It's a keli after all. So now you can announce, I found a fork, and now the person's going to say, you know what? Last week I did lose a fork. Let me see if it's the same. Let me see if it's the same one. Because eventually he doesn't realize he dropped it, but eventually the whole point of Hashavas Haveda is he's going to go and look through his things and find what he lost. So yeah, that's one answer. Rapapa amaha vaha bekuvi bekas. See, Rapapa says both the Mishnah and the Braisa can be talking about large kelim, like barrels and cups. But like Kasha, kan ba'ashba asui liponis, kan ba'ashba shein asui liponis. It depends whether it's a garbage heap that's often cleared away versus not. So they want to ask Ashba asui liponis, aveda midasi. What do you mean? If it's a garbage heap that's regularly cleared away, then if somebody left something there, it's an aveda midas. It means he knew that he should realize that the next day or next week it's going to be cleared away, and he knows that he lost it. You're not obligated to return to him in that case. You may not be able to keep it for yourself, but you certainly don't have to announce it.
You know, he has 5 days to keep it.
Yeah, let's say. So the answer is Ella ba'ashba she'ena asui liponis v'nim l'chalei l'fanoisa. The answer is we're talking about a garbage heap which is normally not cleared away, and now the owner of the garbage heap decided to clear it away. So therefore, so you can't say that it was aveda midas when the person placed it there. As far as he knew, this garbage heap has been here for the last 2 months. As far as I know, it's still going to stay there like that for a while. Then one day, the guy gets a notice from the city or something that he needs to clear it. So therefore, he goes and clears it. So therefore, when you notice this keli in the garbage heap, then you should be no to lamachas, even when it's a large keli. So the Gemara says, "Bishleimel Rav Papa, behind the Ketoni Shekain Derech Ashba Liponis." According to Rav Papa, we understand the last words of the Braisa that a garbage heap is normally cleared away. In other words, because it's often cleared away, then you should assume the person didn't know it was going to be cleared away so soon, and therefore you should go and be machas. El Rav Zvid Maish came to Ayam Ashba Liponis, but according to Rav Zvid, who didn't draw that distinction, he made a distinction between bigger kelim and smaller ones. Maish came to Ayam Ashba Liponis. What is the fact that the garbage heap is regularly cleared away? What does that have to do with anything? And the answer is Shekain Derech Ashba Liponis Lo Kelim Kan. It means because it's very common with the garbage heap, not Liponis to clear away the garbage, but Liponis to clear into it. When a person is sweeping up his house and taking out the trash, very often it might happen that small kelim accidentally end up in the trash and he takes them out. So small kelim, therefore, it's very common that in a garbage heap, people accidentally clear into it, small kelim, and now that you found the small kelim, you can't assume the person placed it there deliberately. You have to assume that he accidentally swept it out with the trash, and therefore you have to be machzir him. So according to him, that's the meaning of it. Just one thing, when the Gemara had mentioned this point about it's aveda midas, what does that mean? What is the implication of it being aveda midas? So you actually have the Rambam holds that you don't have a chiyuv to return it, but you can't keep it for yourself. All it is, it's not hefter. Then the Shulchan Aruch brings the same way. The Tur and the Ramah say that it's actually considered hefter, and then you would actually be able to keep it. So it's a nafkamina between them. Would you actually, when the Gemara calls here and there in the parak, it calls something aveda midas. So everybody agrees. It means you don't have to announce it. Would you actually be able to keep it for yourself, according to the Rambam and the Chaber? No. According to the Tur and the Ramah, yes.
If you can't keep it,
you don't have to announce it, but you can. You don't have to announce it. So, in other words, put it this way, you can keep it by you. You can't use it. You can't use it until you know the person was miyayish. Yeah. You'd have to wait long enough for the to know that the person was miyayish, then you might be able to keep it. But you just wouldn't have to announce it according to them. Okay. Shukayach, everyone.
Shukayach.